This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is absolute, transforming and restoring lives, healing hurt, and making all things new. This power set Michael Bowen free from the captivity, darkness, and hell of addiction and delivered him back to God. This is Jesus Breaks the Chains.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into this podcast, which is a part of the Jesus Breaks the Chains series on Truth Network. I'm Evangelist Michael Bowen, and I pray that the Lord blesses you greatly and you receive this word in love and in truth. This podcast is titled, But God, the John Underwood Testimony, from dope dealer to hope dealer by the mighty power and transformation in Jesus Christ. I'd like to open up this podcast with a reading of the word. From Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, about a month ago, I was on Facebook, just kind of scrolling through the pages, and I came across this picture of a prison ID, and I immediately recognized it because it looked like the same prison ID that I had. It was an offender ID for the Texas prison system, and this guy's name on it was John Underwood. And at first, I didn't even recognize this picture, but I was drawn to the ID, and I said, "Man, I need to read this." And it was this testimony. I started reading this testimony, and it was so powerful, and it moved me so greatly. I had to comment on it, and I started commenting on it. And the guy who posted this, name's John Underwood, and we just started talking and stuff. And I come to find out, I asked him, you know, I started recognizing his face from the ID. And I asked him, I said, "Man, well, you were in Travis Unit, weren't you?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "You know what? When were you there?" And he said, 2017. I said, "I started to preach at the Travis Unit in 2017 every Thursday night." And I told John all the people I preached with, and then he remembered me, and I remembered him, and everything just kind of came back together. So I just, like, this is just a very special moment for me that I get to bring someone that I ministered to in prison. He was in that Travis Unit, is the very same prison where I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ on that prison chapel floor, and where John was there, and where I came back in on Thursday nights to preach the gospel, and John received that word that I preached, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So I'm here to introduce John Underwood. He is my friend and my brother, and a man that I had the privilege of ministering to while he was in prison. John, I'll have you know, is a former Marine who fell into addiction and battled it for over 20 years until he finally surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and was finally set free, which set his feet on a new path with a new God-given purpose to help Jesus save those who are lost, just as John was when he found himself overcome by addiction. I'd like now to introduce to you my friend, John Underwood, and let you know that you're about to hear an amazing testimony that illustrates the power of Jesus Christ to transform lives. Hello, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Brother Bowen. I'm glad to be with y'all, and it's an honor to be able to share my testimony with you.
Yeah, it's great. I'm calling John. He lives in Palestine, Texas. If anybody listening from Texas, that's East Texas, east of Dallas, and yes, that's where John resides. And I want to start this podcast. I think it's important when we give our testimonies and tell our testimonies that we go into our childhood and we talk about the things that kind of shaped us and molded us, because there's a lot of things that that you experienced in childhood, John, that the people that are listening to this podcast, they're going to hear your testimony, they're going to be able to identify with. So I'd like just to tell us about your childhood, how you grew up, where you grew up, and what your childhood was like.
Okay. Well, I was born in Houston, Texas in 1972, and me and my parents moved from Houston to Palestine in, I want to say, 1979 or so.
Yeah.
I was raised in a Christian home. You know, I was taught right from wrong. I had a normal childhood. In 1985, one of the biggest things that happened during my childhood was my father was injured in the oil fields, and he was crippled, and he's never walked without a cane since then. And it was one of the major things in my life that it really kind of sent my life off in an off direction, because I didn't understand why in my mind, a man that loved God the way my father did could be injured the way he did. I didn't understand that. So I guess that's what started my rebellion. I went through high school and I started dabbling in drugs in there, you know, alcohol, marijuana. And, I never did any real hard drugs till, I don't know, I guess I was 24, 25 when I got out of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
I first got my addiction rolling in the Marine Corps, though, because it didn't matter what age you was, as long as you had a military ID in your pocket, you get onto any enlisted club anywhere on any base in the country.
Yeah.
And that was a freedom that I'd never had before, so of course I abused it.
Let me ask you this real quick. Tell me about your time as a Marine. So after high school, you decided you joined the Marines, and you went to basic training. And then where did you go in the Marines, and did you see any combat or what? Give us an idea of what your experience in the armed forces was like.
My experience in the armed forces, I never seen any combat. I've been to Okinawa, Japan, on deployments, and most of my time was spent in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii.
Yeah,
and that's another thing that you know, I guess that's another reason that drinking had become so much a part of my life while I was in the Marine Corps. Because you only spend so much time on a little island with nothing to do before boredom takes over and you'll make things to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just can't believe how far the Lord's brought me now looking back. You know, my time, I got army discharged in 1997. I had a medical discharge in horrible conditions because I had a tumor in my left arm. They removed 80% of the bone on my left arm from my elbow to my shoulder.
Yeah.
And that's when I started with pills.
Yeah. So I guess after the Marines, you got out and you'd already had some experience with alcohol and the drugs out of boredom and stuff and the different places you went. And I know in Hawaii they've got a problem with drugs over there. I'm not sure if you got into that while you're in Hawaii. And then you had that tumor removed out of your arm, and I guess you're probably prescribed some pills like so many of us are, and opiates, and maybe that kind of seeded your addiction. But all those things combined brought about that addiction in you, and it all stems from rebelling against how you grew up, rebelling against what you knew to be true. Maybe having a little resentment to God about what happened to your dad, and the devil crept in and put some resentment in you, and it caused that rebellion. So after the time that you started messing with the pills, give us an illustration or talk to us about your life as it went from that point on, messing with those pills and where it led you, because I already know some of your testimony, and it is so powerful. So take us through that time. Take us through the major events in your life that brought you to the foot of the cross where you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, that was the starting point for my addiction. And my addiction went from pills and alcohol to methamphetamines and alcohol, because when I got out of the Marine Corps, and the pills ran out, I had to find something to put in my system.
Yeah.
And I was working in the oil fields, and back then in, you know, the late 90s, pretty much if you didn't get high, you didn't get a job.
Okay.
In a lot of places.
Yeah.
Because that was just the culture.
Yeah. Stay up. And, stay up as long as you can. Work hard. Use that meth
to make as much money as you
can. To keep you up. To make as much money as you can. Produce, produce, produce. Yeah. Work, 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 work. And we know both of us. I had a problem with meth too. When you do meth, you can go, 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 like the Energizer Buddy, they say. So tell us about that, the oil fields, and what came out of that.
Well, you know, the bad thing was is I got to the point. Now, that's one fact. I never did methamphetamines around my wife or children. But when I was at work, I wouldn't sleep for 10 to 14 days.
At wow.
And then I'd take off for 2 days, go knock off, let my body rest, get back up, get another bump, and head back to work and do that. And I would do that for 2 or 3 months at a time. Now, you know, I made a whole bunch of money, but most of it went back up my nose.
Yeah.
And that was the basis of my oil field career, was not so much supporting my family, but feeding the beast.
Yeah. God, I can see that.
And, you know, I tell anybody that to listen to me, I've been as far down the road of addiction as you can go and not die.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get to, you know, and not that it's a bad thing. I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying it's a bad thing, but I didn't meet the Lord, you know, at a church, you know, with a praise team singing and a pastor giving an altar call. I met Jesus in room 31 of the Motel 6 in Pecos, Texas, August 11th, 2014. And like I said, I'd been up for 10 or 14 days. I just got to the point that I couldn't get high no more. So all the dopes I stole were just keeping me awake, but there was no feeling of euphoria. Couldn't get drunk because I was too high, and I couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah, what were you feeling at the time? What was your mind telling you, and what were the feelings you were having as you were sitting there in that Motel 6 room? What were you feeling, and what was going through your mind?
Greatest moment, I was done. That's the best way I can explain it. I done walked away from everything I ever had. I done lost my wife and my kids. That I chose dope over everything that I ever loved. I didn't get to see my mom and dad anymore because I was on the run from the law.
Yeah.
And the law was watching mom and dad's house. So I couldn't go see my mom and dad. My mom was sick, but I couldn't go see her because I was selfish.
Yeah.
And I just got to that place. I said, you know what? I'd be better off dead.
Yeah.
Now, as a former Marine, my weapons stay on point. I walked out to my truck and got my 9mm out from his seat. I chambered around as I was walking back to the room. I opened the door, slammed the door behind me, chained around, stuck the pistol in my mouth, and pulled the trigger. As you can tell, the weapon had no report. I ejected the cartridge. The cartridge was center punch, as it should be, and there's no reason but God.
That's right.
Didn't go off.
That's right, because you're chosen. He chose you before the foundation of the earth to be his chosen, his disciple, his child. And that's so powerful what he did. So, and when I read that, I was moved because I knew that's the power of God over your life right there. You know, he said, no, that's not your end. Your end is not this motel room by suicide, living in disgrace as a drug addict. They're not going to find you dead in this hotel room. That is not your end. I have something better for you. So tell me about what happened immediately after that and moving forward.
Well, you know, like I said, I pulled that trigger and it didn't, you know, round it, discharged out. And all I could think to myself was, boy, you are so sorry that you can't even kill yourself correctly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then the sweetest presence filled the room.
Jesus.
And that's nothing I ever felt. And I said, God, if you're real, you're going to have to change me or let me die, but please don't leave me like this any longer.
Wow.
And what I felt like were minutes. I laid there, and I don't remember falling asleep, but I woke up, and it was 2 days later that my body had shut down from being amped up on methamphetamines. And since when I stood up in that hotel room, I haven't had a thirst for dope or alcohol since of any kind.
Praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful?
23-year addiction, brother. And at the height of my addiction, I was going through a half gallon of 100-proof rum a day and a good 8-ball of methamphetamines in probably 3 to 4
yeah.
days.
And this is what I'm telling you about right now. Do you hear the hope in this man's story? Do you see it? He went from dope dealer to hope dealer by the mighty power of transformation in Jesus Christ. Jesus can take you right where you are and change you if you give your life to him. He was ready to die, and that's really what it takes. But you don't have to die yourself. You just let that old man in you die, and you give your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that's amazing, and I had the privilege of ministering to you when you were in prison. I know you did some time in prison in 2017. Tell me how you got to prison.
Well, that charge there was actually, okay, well, let's just put it this way. When I come to meet the Lord, I was in between prison stints.
Yeah.
They all stemmed from bad choices due to drugs.
And, yeah.
But anyway, long story short, after I got saved, I was still facing 18 felony counts that if they convicted me of all of them would add up to 40 years.
God, it's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time, especially when you're 40-something.
Yeah, it's a death sentence almost.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I was saved, but I wasn't sanctified.
Yeah, buddy.
I still ran from the law. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not making myself out to be something I wasn't. I was still on the run from the law. I just wasn't acting a fool no more, getting no more new charges.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I guess it was about a week before I actually got picked up. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. It was so real, I woke my wife up and told her. I said, the Lord just told me he's worked this out, and I got to walk it out.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, about 2 weeks later, we was coming out of church, and pulled out on the main little road there, and three cop cars driving me, felony stop. And I was in Tucumcari, New Mexico, and they shipped me all the way back down to Austin, Texas. So we don't waste these people's time no whole lot. Long story short, I walked in there facing 40 years. They dropped it down all down to one state jail felony charge and gave me 1 year. With the back time I had on that charge, I walked into Travis State Jail, did 4 months, and walked out a free man, and that's when I met you, brother.
Yeah, and let me tell you, that's amazing of itself. Because they don't usually do that. Only God. But God can only do that. And God knew you needed 4 months so you could focus on him, you could hear the word being preached, and you could study your word and get you ready for your release. And you had to walk it out. You had to do your time or whatever time that God did choose you to do, because God's the final judge and the final say-so in anybody's life, in anybody's sentence, anytime you're going to go behind bars or go to prison or anything like that. God says the last word. He's the final judge. Hallelujah. I just want you to tell, I know the Lord is doing some great things in your life right now. You've started a ministry, your own ministry. He's got you doing things in studying and studying the word. Tell us about that, what you're doing right now. Tell us about your church.
Well, I'm enrolled in Valor Christian College. Out of Columbus, Ohio, and I'm going to get my bachelor's in evangelism.
Yeah,
I'm starting a prison ministry because that's my heart. I think that's why the Lord allowed me to go to the prison systems. Is because although I'm not saying certain of this that they don't deserve to be there, everybody deserves to know they're loved by Jesus.
Yeah,
and so we got that working. I got an awesome opportunity coming up. February 26th, I'm going with Brother David Guerrero to Fifth Ward in Houston, Texas, to minister, and you are as well. I'm super stoked about that, getting back with you. You know, I'm looking forward to possibly getting over to Africa from time to time. You know, the Lord is just opening doors and doors, and all it takes is obedience, submission and obedience. He'll work out the rest for you.
That's right. Good. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm just telling you, we are so honored and blessed that you could be a part of this Jesus Breaks the Chains podcast series. I'm just asking everybody just to keep John in your prayers as he continues in his studies at Bible College for evangelism. How awesome is that? And we believe that the Lord is going to use you mightily. I just know there's a teaching anointing on your life. John, just by the little time that we've spent together and stuff, I just know that God has called you to be an evangelist, but he's also called you to be a teacher. You're a good student of the word. You know the truth, and you have a desire in your heart to teach other people the truth, not some watered-down version of the gospel, not some feel-good type of of let's pick the scriptures that we like and don't listen to the ones we don't. And I know that's strong on your heart. And so I know the Lord's going to continue to anoint you for that work moving forward. And you're going to preach the gospel to every creature as the word commands. And make disciples of nations, baptizing them. So with that, I'd just like for you, if you have any parting words for our audience, Jonathan, then just go ahead and address the audience. That'd be great.
I just want to remind you, if you're within the sound of my voice, I don't care how far you've gone. You haven't gone too far for your but God moment. Just trust and believe. And I thank you again, Evangelist Bowen, for having me on.
Yeah, it's been my honor and my privilege to have you. Brothers and sisters, friends of mine who are listening to this podcast now, just want to tell you, I love you all. And I pray that you too can find the freedom that John and I have found in Jesus Christ. Jesus breaks the chains. He is our Lord and Savior and the only power that was ever able to deliver these two former drug addicts and set us free from the captivity, darkness, and hell of our addiction. It was the love of Jesus Christ that drew John and I in. And it was his love that broke the chains of our addiction. And it was his love that set us free. It was the love that stopped that bullet from coming out of that gun that night in the hotel room. It was the love that moved on me when I laid on my face, weeping and crying and telling the Lord to save me on that prison chapel floor. I'm just telling you right now, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free, my brother John. Thank you, Jesus. Now that John and I have been set free, we live our lives as fearless and faithful disciples, and we love God, we love people, and we share the love of Jesus Christ with everyone we meet. I want to close this podcast with this word, and it's a powerful word from 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Everything John and I do is centered on our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Word of God says we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. What a transformation that is, from dope dealer to hope dealer, from drug addict, criminal, convict, thief that I was, to a disciple of Jesus Christ, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. The work that John and I do as his disciples is to help others come to know the truth of the gospel that saved our souls from addiction and hell. This is the greatest life both John and I have ever lived, living our lives in Jesus Christ. God bless you all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is the Truth Network.